Good morning. All right. I know sometimes when a day like today, we got the folks going over now to cook and different things like that, and your mind is in sometimes a lot of different places. And so I really want us to just take a moment. I want us to settle our minds in, because I believe the word today is powerful for your family. It's powerful for your situations in life. And I just want God to set your heart on fire with this word today. So let's just pray. I'm going to take a moment. We're just going to sit here in silence for a moment. Yeah, Lord, whatever distractions there may be, whatever competing thoughts there may be, Lord, we pray right now in the name of Jesus that we take every thought captive. Lord, that your word today truly demonstrates its power in our life. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for making it come alive today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So if I was to ask you, what is the symbol of the Christian faith, what would you tell me? The cross. Yeah. So for most of us, the cross is the symbol of Jesus and the work of Jesus, and it is the symbol of Christianity. I'd actually like to suggest another one today, and that may surprise you, but actually the cross was not the first image. It took some time before that became sort of this thing we wear around our neck, this t-shirt that we have printed with the cross on it. The cross was a little slow in coming as a symbol as we know it today. But I want to give you another symbol that I pray that when you think of what does it mean to be a Christian, what does it mean when I think of Jesus, that this symbol just is the first thought that comes into your mind. And I assure you, it will not compete with the cross. It's going to work just perfect with the cross, okay? And so today, what I need you to do is turn to John chapter 13, and I need to set up this scenario. So Jesus has had the Passover meal with his disciples. We call it the Lord's Supper. It's this last meal that he's going to have with his disciples. His time is limited, and he has to make the best of it. And so this thing is picking up speed, and we're moving toward the cross. And this that I'm going to read to you today is one of the final major moments with the disciples. It's one of those last images that he can put in their mind. You hear that last image? He's leaving them an image that they're going to be able to take with them wherever they go. And so the meal is over. And in John chapter 13, verse 4, we're going to read a little bit of scripture today. Is that okay?
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to get you out of here to get a hot dog, I promise. So in verse 13, listen to the words here. It says, and Jesus got up from supper, and he laid aside his garment, and taking a towel, he girded himself. And then he poured water into a basin, and he began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. And so he came to Simon Peter, and he said to him, Lord, do you wash my feet? And Jesus answered and said to him, what I do you do not realize now, but you will understand it hereafter. Peter said to him, oh, never shall you wash my feet. And Jesus answered to him, if I do not wash you, you have no part with me. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, then wash not only my feet, but wash my hands and my head. And Jesus said to him, he who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but he's completely clean, and you're clean, but not all of you. For he knew that there was one who was betraying him, and for his reason he said, not all of you are clean. Then in verse 12, and so when he had washed their feet, and he had taken his garment, and he had reclined at the table again, he said to them, do you know what I've done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you're right, for so I am. If I then, the Lord and the teacher, washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. Mm. For I gave you an example that you also should do as I did to you. So here's what just happened. The meal is over. You get it, right? Jesus strips himself down to the lowliest of garments. He may have been naked. that was not a big deal in that time, you have to understand. So we always like to put clothes on him, but there's just no way of knowing. But he wraps his cowl around himself. This is the symbol of a servant. That's what a servant would look like and what a servant would do. There's just one problem. They've already eaten, and you were supposed to wash feet before the meal started. You see, when you were living in those days and you would come into a place and a guest would be providing a meal, if you were of low standing, what you would do is you provide a basin of water, a pitcher and a basin of water and a towel, and people would wash their own feet. Or somebody there could do the washing as well, but it was a lowly task. Now, if you were of great means, if you had great wealth, and you had servants, then a servant did that. As you came into the house of someone who was of high standing, a servant would be there, and they would wash your feet. Why did you wash feet? Because, of course, sandals in those days, and dirty roads, and animal droppings. You get the, you know, this feet, you think our feet smell bad? Just because yours have been closed up in a pair of sneakers, we think our feet smell bad. You just walk through some dung and some, you know, whatever else is they thrown out on the road. And I'm telling you what, and then somebody says, now let's just enjoy a meal together. Yeah? So it was customary that you did that. You washed the feet and you would anoint them typically with some oil that had a little perfume in it, a little fragrance about it. You know, we're just trying to cover the stink up just a little bit, right? You know, because they're not bathing the way we're bathing. And so we're just trying to make this thing presentable. And you would do that at the beginning of the meal, but it didn't get done. Nobody washed any feet. And so they've had the meal, and what does Jesus do? He takes on this form of a servant, and he begins to wash feet. Now, I don't know what these other disciples did. Peter, of course, is usually the one that speaks up. And so Peter's thing is, oh, Lord, not me. Have any of you ever been a part of the foot washing? In some churches, it's still very much a tradition, you know, and all. I'm just going to tell you, just the thought of it's just plain awkward. Honestly, it's just the most awkward thing you've ever experienced, you know? And rightfully so, because it's one of the more humble parts of the body. If you think about it, now, ladies, I know y'all go and get your pedicures and all that, and you've had a lot of people touching your feet, but fellas, people don't touch our feet, do they? Yeah. Guys, we don't get around each other and touch each other's feet. You know, it just, I'm just going to tell you, it doesn't happen. Okay? It doesn't happen. And even with women, you know, some of y'all may get together and you rub your spouse's feet and all that kind of stuff. I just think it's awful. Okay? It's one of those private parts of your body. You know, and most people, when you even think about this thing of washing your feet, you think about, oh, do they stink? Do they look good? You know, do I have an ingrown toenail? Do I have fungus? You know, all those things, they're going to put my hands on my feet. Where are they going to put? You see how this goes? You think it's awkward today. It was just as awkward then. It transcends time. When Peter sees Jesus, he's like, oh, this is awkward. You know, because they know who Jesus is. That's why it's so awkward. You see, they've already identified him as the Messiah, the one they've been looking for in Scripture. This is the King of Kings. This is the Lord of Glory. He's there in their midst. They've watched the miracles. They've seen the signs and wonders. They know who he is. He's the one that's getting out of power and going to do this awkwardly, humbling, almost humiliating, in some way still very intimate thing. And if you look at that, it makes no sense. I can't even think of something in modern day America that transcends this thing, that communicates it the same way. What can you think of where the person of the highest standing takes on the lowest standing and serves the people that is truly higher than? Does that make sense? So Jesus is truly greater than everybody in the room. Peter recognizes that part. And he's like, that's why he's like, not me. No, see, you don't have any business doing that, Jesus. That's below you. That's beneath you. And so there he is. Peter not wanting his feet to be washed because this Jesus, the one who is in the highest standard, is now doing this lowly thing. And Jesus looks at him And in verse 8, he says, but Peter, you don't understand. If I don't wash you, you'll have no part in me. Mm-hmm. Now, you got to ponder that for just a little bit and figure out what's going on. You see, what Jesus is doing is giving them a picture of what's to come. He's gonna go to the cross. The disciples are going to scatter, and they need something that's going to hold them together. Something that when this thing's all over, they can make sense of it all. And so he tells them, he says, you don't understand this thing now that I'm doing. It makes no sense to you, but it's going to. And so when he looks at Peter and he says, Peter, if I don't wash you, you'll have no part in me. Obviously, he's talking about something more than just washing crusty toes.
Come on.
Right? Obviously, there's more to what Jesus is trying to communicate here. This is the powerful thing. Oh, Lord, help me communicate. Holy Spirit, speak to us. Let us do this. There are no kings who wash feet. You understand that, right? Mm-hmm. Kings don't wash feet. But our King Jesus does. Mm-hmm. He's the only king I know that washes feet. That's why he came. And so the cross is a symbol of forgiveness. You got that. I know you do. You know that when you see a picture of the cross, and whether you see Jesus on it or it is empty, you know that Jesus paid an incredibly high price in order for you to be saved. But I believe something can get lost in translation when this Jesus did this thing on a cross somewhere 2,000 years ago, and now somehow this buys forgiveness for me. This story clears it up for me, and I hope it will for you. You see, what Jesus is telling Peter is, Peter, you cannot get yourself clean. You hear me? You can't get yourself clean enough. You can't do enough. I'm going to have to come, and I'm going to take on the role of a servant, and I have to wash you clean. Come now, up. If you look at the life of Peter, he's done everything. He's got a much better resume than you do, or me. Okay? He was right there with Jesus. He saw the miracles. He saw the signs and wonders. He heard the teaching. He had a front row seat. He was laying on the hard ground beside Jesus at night. He'd been everywhere with him. And you would think that in all of that, it would have been enough. And Jesus looks at Peter and he says, Peter's not enough. That's not enough, because you can't cleanse yourself. I have to cleanse you. That is where it is difficult for all of us. Because how many people do I run into that when we talk about having a relationship with Jesus, the thing that comes to their mind is, what do they need to do? You know, what must I do? That was what they asked Peter when he was preaching. They said, what do we have to do to be saved? We're always looking for something to do. Can I tell you that you can have no part of the kingdom of God unless you have passed through this water and let Jesus serve you? That's awkward, isn't it? The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, you can't even participate in his kingdom unless he comes and you allow him to serve you. That's what he told Peter. I got to wash your feet. And if we were there, and just like Peter, you look at that and you go, oh, you don't have any business doing that. You know? And I wonder how many Christians there are that have not actually let Jesus serve them. That's an awkward thing, I know. It doesn't even sound right, does it? That Jesus has to serve you. Because you can't do this. You have to receive this cleansing that comes from Jesus alone. And so Jesus is essentially looking at Peter, and he's saying, Peter, I'm going to use you. I'm not going to touch you. But he looks at Peter, and he says, I mean, calling Peter. He says, Peter, I'm not washing your feet because you deserve it. That's not what this is about. I'm not washing your feet because you've done great things or there's a great call on your life. or you've participated in signs and wonders. I'm not doing this because you deserve it. I'm doing this because I love you. And the only way you're ever going to be clean is if I do it. You see, the way to the cross is through humility.
Amen.
You see that? It's one of the most humbling things to say that you need help, isn't it?
Yes.
We all have this struggle in us that says, I don't want to receive help. I don't want a compliment. Oh, no. So, no, that's not me. Somebody says something, you know, and you're like, okay, I've told you before, there's this really nasty thing that goes on among pastors when people come up and say, Pastor, I really appreciate that message. It was good. And we do this stupid thing and we go, oh, it's not me, brother. It's the Lord. Is that a pious look that I'm putting on? I'm trying. You know? Because let me tell you what's in the heart of every pastor. He wanted to preach a good message.
Mm-hmm.
We all do. You know? But there's just something weird and awkward about a compliment. There's something weird and awkward sometimes when you're at the dinner table and you're trying to figure out who's going to buy, right? And it feels awkward when somebody buys your meal or when somebody does something nice to you, because we have this mindset that you have to earn everything. And what Jesus is saying is, what I am going to do at the cross, you couldn't do. And an even better example, I believe, of the cross that solidifies this thing where you will quit striving and you can rest in God, is you got to humble yourself, enter into this awkward moment where you let Jesus wash your feet.
Come on.
Has Jesus ever washed your feet? Has Jesus ever washed your sin away? Has Jesus ever cleansed your thinking and your mind and the things that you set your eyes on? Oh, no, I done gone to meddling now, right?
Come on.
Yeah. No, all those things we're going to keep to ourselves and we're going to try to figure them out. Can I tell you it won't work?
Come on.
He says, you'll never have a part of me. I got to come in as a servant and I got to cleanse your mind. I have to come in as a servant, and I got to clean up the bitterness that's inside of you, the unforgiveness that's inside of you, the evil and wicked thoughts that nobody else knows but you know, and that's what's holding you back because you don't think you can do anything. Well, guess what? What you need is this. You need Jesus to serve you.
Come on.
You need Jesus to wash you. And then Peter says, well, if that's the case, then wash everything. He goes from one extreme to the next. One minute he says, no, no, and in that it's like, no, no, never, not in a million years, not ever are you going to wash my feet. There's like a string of negatives in the Greek there. Never. And then when Jesus said, well, you can't be a part of me, he says, oh, well, then just wash everything. just get me clean. And he says, no, see, you don't understand. You see, I'm going to the cross. And for everybody that comes after me, they're going to be saved by what I did on the cross and by believing. Mm. Now, the disciples, they'd already believed. They knew who he was, right? Mm-hmm. And so he looks at them and he says, you're clean, Peter. You don't understand. When I get done with the cross and when I restore you, you're fine. You believe. What this does is it washes you. So let me tell you that salvation was not the only place for a cleansing and a washing in your life. That every day, literally, we need to get up and let the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords wash us. You see, because many of you in this room, I know you've given your life to the Lord. You believe. And so I want you to hear the words of confirmation from Jesus when he says, you're clean. As far as it is with having a bath, you done had one. You know, you believed on the cross, you were baptized, you were saved, you have been bathed. What you need me to do is every morning, you need me to get up. This is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Have I mentioned that, by the way? And he says, every day I need to wash you. Now, how does he do that? He washes you in his word.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I didn't make that up. Go over to Ephesians. And I need to make you scratch your head for just a minute. So can I? Ephesians chapter 5. I'm going to read to you what will seem to be the most awkward scripture at this moment. You're like, what in the world is he reading this for? Has he lost his mind or is he like got a multiple personality or something? It's going to make no sense. I'm in Ephesians chapter 5. I'm going to begin in verse 21. And it says in verse 21, and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. Now, here's where it's going to get really awkward for just a minute, okay? All right, check this out. Wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also wives ought to be to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her. When you hear that verse, what image comes to your mind? You're like, I got lost. I'll read it to you again. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her. What image comes to mind? The cross comes to mind in verse 25. Look at what should come to mind in verse 26. So that he might sanctify, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word. You ought to think about Jesus washing feet. Verse 25 is the image of the cross. Verse 26 is the image of a servant washing feet. And what I am telling you in these verses is, Jesus said, I have to wash your feet, and then I'm putting you on a mission of washing everybody else's feet. Now let me tell you the place where we have the most trouble with this is in our husband and wife relationships. Because everybody wants to be Lord. Nobody wants to serve. Everybody wants their way. And everybody wants to be right. Now don't look at your spouse and elbow them and all that stuff, okay? All right? And I don't know how many people read these verses and just want to get offended by it. You know, they're just looking for a reason that they can be offended. And there's all this debate about women submitting and what does that mean and Christ loving the church and what does that mean. Can I go and just clear this up and save your marriage? I think I will. I'm just going to go ahead and do it. The call of a marriage is the identical thing of Jesus washing feet. And what they're saying is not one person is here and one person is here, because the kingdom doesn't work that way. Guess where each role is, husband or wife? Guess what your role is? Servant. And if you get that right, your marriage is going to be fine. You see, men, we've got some mindset that when it said that Christ was head of the church, we picture Christ on the throne. We like that. We picture him up on the throne giving out edicts and commands to their wives and children and all that stuff. That's not the picture. He's the only one on ruling and reigning in that sense. The picture that you're supposed to have, men, women, y'all starting to like now, aren't you? This is Mother's Day. The picture of the man is this, and I will tell this to any man I get a chance. I will say, do you know what your role is? Do you know what your role is? Just say, no, I don't know. Do you know what your role is? No, I don't know. Let me tell you. Do you know what your role is? Just say, no. Your role is this. You are the chief foot washer in your house. It is the most honorable title you can have. It is the highest level of Christianity. It's the servant. That's what Jesus was modeling. The highest level, the most important person, is the foot washer. Now, when you can show me a relationship where there are two foot washers in that family, I will show you a marriage that will endure the test of time. It will stand against the gates of hell, and nothing will come against it. It is impervious because it's built on a solid rock of Christ Jesus and his example. Amen, Kevin.
Amen.
That thing will last. But now I get into some counseling situations, and honestly, I can't find a foot washer among them. I hope that's not your relationship, honestly. I'll get into some situations with some men and women, and I can't find a foot washer. And the model that we have, if we're Christians, is this. One is not higher nor lower, because the kingdom of God doesn't work like that. The highest is the lowest. The king is the servant. That was what he was showing everybody. So when I'm in a counseling situation, I'm looking in that relationship saying, okay, if I can't find two foot washers, can I find one? Because if I can find one, we can work with that.
Come on.
You know? But now if what I find is this, my wife said, nah, you know what? I ain't serving him because he don't love me like Christ loves the church. And then I look over there at him, well, I can't love her because she won't do what I ask her to do. I'm like, y'all are, can I choke y'all? Because you don't get it. Are you saved? The model for the family is foot washing. And scripture even says, and I believe it's in 1 Corinthians, you know, that if there's a believer in that house and one is not a believer, it says don't get a divorce, that you will actually bring that person, you have the chance to bring that person to a relationship with God, to sanctify them through your life. Isn't that beautiful?
Come on. Yep.
Ooh,
yeah.
That means you get to be chief foot washer, whether you're a woman or a man. God is saying, if you would just be a vessel, because I can't wash feet, so I need you to do it. But I'll show you exactly how. If you'll wash feet, then we're going to give that person every opportunity to come to Christ. I hope that you see that the model, the picture of the Christian life ought to be foot washing. I actually think it's as beautiful or maybe even more beautiful than the cross. Because the King of glory. Can anybody say that the work's too hard? Huh? Mm-hmm. Can anybody say the work's too demeaning? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's this beautiful picture, I pray, of two foot washers. So that's what I pray, is that if your household doesn't have a foot washer among you, that somebody today will get a vision for it and become a foot washer. Somebody said, well, what am I supposed to do? Just do what Jesus would do. You know, just do whatever it takes to bless that family, to make your children and your spouse as good as they can possibly be, as close as they can be to God. Just be a foot washer. Because if you can find one, a lot of times you can get two. All right, I'm about to start at middle. And then he goes on. And in verse 32 of that same chapter, he says, this mystery is great, but I am speaking with reference to Christ and the church. So let me show you how this thing works. Jesus modeled this servant life. And then he passes that image along into our families. So husband and wife, you become the image bearer of foot washing to the world. Oh, that's beautiful. Oh, I hope you can get a glimpse of that, an image of that. You pass on the image of foot washing to the world. That's a high calling. And then a church, you know what a church is made up of? It's a family of families. Mm-hmm. That's what it is. The church is a family of families. And so what you see in a husband and wife relationship, then you see in the church. But I can assure you, you won't find a servant in a church if you can't find husbands and wives that know how to serve. Mm-hmm. It just won't happen. So we become, as husbands and wives, image bearers of foot washing to the world. And I told Brantley, we were talking about it last night, I said, God was just good in the sense that None of us, at least to this point, I say to this point, that we desired God. And here's what happens when you wash feet. If you wash feet, it'll give you an introduction into somebody's life. You hear me? If you serve people in the right way, minister to them in the Lord, then it opens doors of opportunities. And Brantley has been one of the most amazing people. They'll fly because you don't notice. I'm not shooing away demons or anything like that. Okay, it's just a fly. But I can tell you that we have worked really hard at trying to be foot washers together. Me washing her feet, she washing mine. And I can tell you this, that if there is a decision that has to go on in our family, you know the first person that I want to talk to? I want to know her opinion on the matter. You know, I want to know, what does she think? And I can assure you that wherever you go and wherever you serve, this amazing thing is going to happen. When you begin to serve people, you get access to their life. So be careful with it. And if you try to serve in order to get access, you're going to mess it up. Mm-hmm. So don't even try. So the family is the model, and then the church is the model. And so I just want to give you a few little things to say, how can we make this, how can we make this personal? One, if I had any great desire, I would say this. When you leave here today, decide to be a foot washer. If you say, well, Kevin, I mess things up. I've gone through a divorce. You know, I'm in a second marriage. I would say, you know what? God's grace is sufficient. Mm-hmm. His mercies are new. That is not the final word. And so in those situations, then just start again, like we all have to do, and decide, you know what, this time I will do it this way. If there's not even anyone on the horizon, if there's somebody out there and you're not even married and you're trying to figure out how to have a marriage that lasts, because a lot of them don't, I would say this, then just go ahead right now, even if you're young, and let that get deposited in your life. When I get married, I will be the chief foot washer in my home. And then you move that into something like this church family. And I don't know if you remember the story of Mary who comes to Jesus and she washes his feet. Remember that? She washes his feet with her tears and she dries it with her hair. And in that same story, guess what? They were having dinner and nobody wanted to wash feet. And so what happens? A woman who had been touched by Jesus, who had been forgiven and restored, and her life had been transformed. What does she do? She forgets all the customs. She goes right past the basin and the pitcher, and she washes his feet with her tears, and she dries his feet with her hair. And everybody around her says, well, that's just plain awkward. Because that's what it is. But she could care less. Because she has been served by the Master. And the only reasonable thing to do is love back. You see that? I believe that there are a lot of people in church that struggle with worship and they struggle with loving God because you have not let the King of Kings wash your feet. That's the only way you enter. So the church becomes this image of the Savior washing the church's feet, and then the church ministering to the Lord at every opportunity to worship. And then we minister to each other. I'll tell you about Jeff and Leanne, who are not in the room. Many of you know, when we started Ember, Jeff and Leanne came to me and said, we want to lead the kids' ministry. Well, here's the vision that they had of children's ministry. Leanne said that God gave her a vision, and there was a table. And it was at Ember, by the way, so don't blame this on anybody else, okay? There was a table, and we were all the adults were coming, and we were tearing off bread, and we were eating it, and we were gorging ourselves on bread, and there were crumbs, and they were falling on the floor around, and guess who was eating the crumbs?
Children.
The children were eating the crumbs. And if you look at most churches, that's exactly what's happening. Mm-hmm. Everybody walks in and wants to get a piece of bread, and the children are eating the crumbs. And Jeff and Leanne came to me and said, we have a heart to serve our kids, and we will minister to them the way that you minister to the adults, mm-hmm. if you will let us. Mm-hmm. And I said, and you've heard me say this before, I told him, I said, I am going to pass out. And when I wake up, say it again, just so I'll know it's true. They have demonstrated, if you want to know what it looks like, what serving looks like in a church family, and it's around here, okay? I see it, and I want to commend you that I believe that we have something really powerful going on here, that we've tapped into what it means to serve and to wash feet. That's just one instant, okay? Where everybody else will say, I'm going to get mine. That's how a lot of people come to church. I'm coming to get mine. Somebody said, well, can you keep nursery? Oh, heck no. You might have even said the other word, you know, the double hyphen. Oh, no. I don't do that. You know what? I believe that you can measure the servant heart of a church family by the willingness of those people to take care of the babies. Mm-hmm. I'm going to let that sit there. I'm going to just set that right there. All right? And I will say that I believe that we will know the true servant heart of a congregation when they serve in the areas where they don't get credit, where they serve in the areas where it's not popular. You got to clean. You got to wash some stuff, right? Huh? You got to watch some. It doesn't get much clearer than that. You know? And I will tell you this. I believe you can measure the heart of a church by those areas. Are they taking care of the babies? Are they taking care of the widows and the orphans? Because nobody gets credit for those things. It shows that you have a servant's heart. Now, people say, well, if somebody just tell me what to do, I'll do it. You ever heard that?
Mm-hmm.
You're wrong. Oh, I've been going to preaching or something now, right? that kind of hard stuff. I would say, you're wrong. Because Jesus was trying to tell them, look, the basin's been sitting there. The feet have been dirty. We've been eating. You knew what had to happen. None of you had a heart for it. I pray that when Jesus looks at us, he would say, there's the people down there, they got a heart for it. They don't have to ask to be, you know, to do something. They don't have to be instructed on doing something. That they just find a need and they just meet it. Why? Because they've had Jesus wash their feet. They know what it looks like. They've been moved by it. And now they move out into the world washing feet. I got to hurry. And then you move out into school. Young people, hey, you heard me? So far, you move out into school. I dare one of you to try this. I didn't do it. When I was in school, I was a CIA Christian. You know what that means? I was undercover. Hoping nobody would find out. Just so I could kind of scale along and wouldn't cause much trouble for myself. But I'm looking for somebody around here who can get up a tower and go into the school, and when everybody else is trying to put everybody down and make themselves look good, if somebody find a towel and start serving in our schools, I wonder what that would look like. I wonder what it would look like if we all adults went into the business world, and rather than trying to get ours and trying to get our promotion and running over people to get to it and all that stuff, if somebody took a towel to work. In fact, I don't know about you. If you ever been in my office, this sits on the top shelf. I think this is a bread basket. I'm not sure. Isn't that what it is? I don't know what this thing is. To me, it's a basin. And what nobody can see until I've told you today, but what's always been in here in this is this. So this tower is in this basin sitting on the top of my shelf. Now, why is that? Because years ago when I became a deacon, the church gave me this tower because the role of a deacon is to serve. And so they gave me a tower. And so I put it up on that shelf to remind me that when people say, what do? I know most of them want to hear pastor, preacher, whatever. But you know what God has called me to do? I'm chief foot washer, dude. Mm-hmm. That's my job. And I love it. And I want to do it better and more. Because I believe it's the highest calling in anybody's life is to be a chief foot washer for somebody. You say, well, what's your job? You guys don't work for me. You know that, right? You guys aren't here to build me a big church. Nah, see, that's why I keep this above my bookcase, so as I know who I am and I know what I do. You see, God has called me to be chief foot washer. And that's my job. And I know that some of you have that same heart. I know you do. I see you. I see you doing it. I see you keeping nursery. I see you serving. I watch our Love in Action people going to DSS, and they're serving DSS, and they're serving foster families, and people are calling. And you know why? Because they're foot washers in that group. They get it. Alicia has given us this amazing opportunity with this summer Read, Feed, and Succeed, where we can go in to this neighborhood over here and we can wash feet. We can wash the feet of some young children as we read books to them, as we love on them. And I'll tell you this, the world likes to complain, doesn't it?
Come on.
Yes.
The world loves to complain about stuff. We complain about DSS. We complain about the schools. We complain about the government. Can I tell you that the more you complain, the worse it's going to get?
Yes.
Nothing's ever going to change by your complaining. Do you know when it's going to change? When the greatest image of the Christian life is not only the cross, but it's the basin and the power. When the Christian, every one of us, realizes that the highest calling in life is to go and wash feet, to take care of others, and to serve. And so I want to encourage the amazing group of foot washers that we have in the group. You represent Christ to the world. And for some to say, I don't think I got a servant's heart, Kevin, but I'm convicted. What do I do? Step number one. Have you allowed Jesus to wash your feet? Because if your pride won't let him clean you, then you aren't clean. So let him wash your feet. And then daily, let him wash your feet with the word. And then don't wait for someone to give you something to do. When you see a need, that is a cue that there is a foot washer that is needed, and go do it. So here's the challenge out there today. We're going out there to eat hot dogs. Some of y'all probably went out there to get fed. I think you ought to run over yourself finding ways to serve each other today. All right? I think you ought to run over yourself trying to find ways to serve each other. And now the only way to serve people is not to grab a hot dog and hand it to somebody, okay? You can serve by adults playing with our young people and getting to know their name and what they like to do. You can go up to somebody that you've never met before and introduce yourself. Somebody asked Mother Teresa, they said, what would we do to serve? If we wanted to start serving, what would you do? She said, find someone who is being neglected and go wash their feet. Mm-hmm. Find somebody that's being neglected, go serve. Find somebody sitting by themselves, go sit with them. I've poured out all I got. that is my heart, y'all. And I hope it translates into something. Because they said this, and Scripture says that they saw their good works, and they gave glory to God. This is how they'll know that you are my disciples, that you love one another. Key, fundamental, primary to that is a group of foot washers. I believe we got them here. And so here's what I want to do. Y'all stand up. I want to pray over you. The praise team is actually going out to help serve. So I told them I was going to sing the invitation. Just kidding. Let me pray over you. Oh, Father, in Jesus' name. Lord Jesus, thank you that you gave us this incredible model. There's nothing in the world like that. The world is competing for who can be first and who can be greatest. And Lord, you are the King of Kings. You are the Lord of Lords. And when given an opportunity to demonstrate yourself, you wash feet. As a summary to everything that you had done, all of the healings that you had done, all of the thousands of people that you fed. Why did you do it, Lord? I believe you did it because you were serving humanity. It blows my mind. It breaks my heart in a good way that you would be the King of Glory and you would come and serve. And Lord, there's probably somebody in the room. I know I have experienced it. I'm not even beyond it in the future. But Lord, we can be so prideful. And we say, I can't do that. I can't accept that. I can't accept help. Lord, please break our stubborn pride. In Jesus' name, break our stubborn pride so that we can receive help and we can receive salvation and we can receive cleansing, even on a daily basis, Lord. And Father, thank you for the servants that already have this. They're setting the tone here. They're creating a culture here that we would rather serve because we've seen it and we value it. And so I pray that you would encourage the servants, that you would strengthen the courage, strengthen them, Lord, that you would renew them every day. And Lord, I pray that if there's anybody here that was convicted by it, that Lord, they were convicted in such a way that it didn't bring condemnation, but it brings about just an eye-opening who you are of what our lives are called to be. Give us a vision for our families, Lord. Give us a vision for what it looks like to be the chief foot washer in the family. Give us a vision of what it looks like to be foot washers in the church, to be foot washers in the community. Lord, you gave us this amazing thing. It gives us the advantage wherever we go. It opens doors. It creates opportunities. And so let us take it in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
God bless you.